I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He joins us each and every Friday. We actually have a football Friday, dare I say our first football Friday of the year. Joey Harrington, Joey, friend of the program. Thanks for stopping by once again.
Who are you?
You know, no one important. You know, it's like one week it's Rob, one week it's me. Yeah, it's one of those things. It's that time of the year.
It's just you today?
It's just me today. Well, Nemec's here, but he's busy watching Trey Lance. He has some sort of unhealthy obsession with Trey Lance, and I believe he's gone into the other room to stream the 49ers preseason game. There's a serious problem that he has.
Why did I call in if it's just you?
I don't know. I think Rob's down in your territory. I think he's down in, like, Sisters.
Oh, maybe I should go down and talk to him.
Well, you're down there all the time, too. Weren't you just down there?
Yeah, you know, I was telling Lynch a little while ago that we, for the first time ever, got over here with Sans kids, which was they were at camp, and we had a little relaxing time by ourselves. It was kind of nice.
That's the first time you went there without kids?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh man, yeah. You're still in that mode. Like, all my kids are older, so I have no problem kicking him to the curve. Are you still in that guilty, like, you can't leave the kids alone phase?
No. My kids aren't 18 yet.
Oh, well,
like,
for heaven.
They still live with them.
Oh, yeah,
like,
but still,
like, I don't have, like, the kids that have gone off to college and, like, you know, at that point, yeah, sure.
It's time to cut the cord.
You're 10. You know what? Here's $100. Go find an apartment, you know, go rent a car, you know, we can get you a job down the street, you know. Once you cross that double-digit threshold, you're on your own.
Look, this is all I'm saying. Can the kid make himself a Hot Pocket? Yes. Can he dial 911? Sure. Does he know how to use a fire extinguisher? Yes. Then I think at that point, you're okay. I'm not saying to go away for like 2 weeks, but 5, 6, 7, 9 days. I think there's some gray area there. That's all I'm saying.
I actually don't think it's legal until they're 10.
Really?
I think there's a law that says you cannot leave your children unattended until they are 10 years old. I could be wrong about that.
You know what?
I'm
so tired of this government overreach. This is ridiculous. I thought this was America. Well, I thought this was the land land of the free. Hey, back in the olden days.
This is America.
America.
We're
America
about winning championships.
Yeah.
Hey, back in
America
the old days.
America is land of the free. America is, you know, we're the place with actual laws.
Yeah, back in the olden days, your kid would be 9 years old and he'd be working a double shift down at the smelting factory. You know, he'd be working at a refinery somewhere. He'd already have a girlfriend, probably engaged. I mean, look, let's speed this up. There was something to that. There was some grit and gumption. These child labor laws are ruining this country.
You went to BYU, right?
I did.
So what are we talking about today?
It's weird because it's so strange now, because when I see, like, a college football player being interviewed, you know, getting ready for the season, and then you find out that someone's engaged, and it's always like a big deal, right? And it happens every now and then. It's like, oh, congratulations. And it's like this weird kind of unique thing. And I always laugh about that. I'm like, why are they talking about that? I'm like, oh, it's a story. There's one married player. I came from a program that there were 30 guys that were married and multiple had kids. We had one guy that I graduated with, and I think when he graduated, I want to say he was 25 or 26. He had three kids. He had twins.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine going to college football practice and then coming home to a two-year-old. Like, I'm sorry, but that just does not register in my world.
Yeah, his name was Tavita Ofenhungawe, and he was Mr. Irrelevant in the NFL. He got drafted by, like, the Cardinals. And I remember, like, you know, when you go to a bowl game, this is not something anyone outside of BYU would know, but and bowl games, we were allowed to bring wives. So when we would go to the bowl game, like, you'd be on the team playing and you're like, oh, look at that. And you'd have your wife and kids. And I remember that he had twins that were like three, and then they had like a baby. So yes, I flew to the AXA Equitable Liberty Bowl in Memphis, Tennessee, and there was a dude on the plane with three kids in college.
Were they working at the smelting factory?
Well, probably. You know, there was a very hardworking family. It was like, and like all of their, it was such a weird dynamic. And now that I've been so far removed from it, it's strange because I've forgotten what that's like, but there's just nothing. There's no place like it. You're like, hey, man, you want to hang out this weekend? Can't. Why? The wife and kids. You're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, you're 20. What the hell is going on? It's a very, very strange. And people think somehow that helps you. We always got flack. They're like, oh, you're grown men. It's an advantage. No, it's not. You being a father, you think it's an advantage to be in college and have kids? That does not help your athletic performance at all.
No, it doesn't. Absolutely does not.
Did you?
Are we seriously going to talk about kids like the entire first Football Friday? Like, I didn't call in to talk about your kids.
We were talking about your kids and your inability to cut the cord. Come on. Just get on with it.
Fair enough.
Did you have kids, though, when you were in the NFL, or did that come after?
My oldest was born the year I retired.
Oh, okay.
So I got to experience one preseason game on the field. Jack would have been April, May, June, July, August. So Jack would have been 4 months old.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you ever wish like your kids had gotten to see you play? Because like you see like the Brett Favre thing, or you know, rolling out the kids out there. Is that something? Because I'm sure your kids are aware that you're not just another normal, you know, you're not just a normal guy with a normal job. But do you ever wish that they would have gotten to see the old man go out there and play?
Yes and no. I would say mostly no. Yes, because, you know, it was a really big part of my life.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was very impactful. And it's nice to be able to share that with your family, you know, in the same way that I was able to share it with my dad. I would have loved to have been able to share it, you know, with kids. But on the flip side, I very much like the fact that they have their own identity. They have their own path. They have, you know, I don't want them to ever, and this is, you know, it's going to happen no matter what, but I don't want them to feel the pressure of like having to live up to something that they were a part of. Like, you know, if they've experienced it, then it's imprinted more on them. And there's this feeling of knowing what it is and knowing what they have to, you know, they feel like they have to be a part of. Right.
Yeah.
But if they weren't a part of it, and if they weren't around for it and only, you know, have read or heard or been told stories, then, you know, I'm assuming that there is less of a pressure, right? It's funny. Jack and I, my oldest, were watching, the captain the other night, and Jeter was signing autographs after, I think it was after spring training or something. You know, there are a bunch of people lined up along the edge, and he kind of looked at me. He's like, hey, Dad, did that ever happen to you when you were playing? And I said, well, not in this context, you know, not over the course of a 15-year Hall of Fame Major League Baseball, you know, four World Series championships in 5 years kind of way. But there was a stretch for, you know, for a few years where, yeah, it did. And that was kind of part of my life. And you could kind of see just him process and comprehend, like, oh, okay. you know, the fact that he had to ask that question tells me that that doesn't necessarily register as part of his life, which I like, yeah. Right? You know, we talk all the time about how that NFL world is not real. That NFL world is not something that I wanted to be a part of, and I didn't want my family to grow up in that or to be accustomed to that or to somehow think that that was the norm. And, you know, the fact that he had to ask that question says, okay, that, you know, that hasn't registered or that hasn't become a reality for him, which I kind of like.
Yeah. Have you taken him down to like a Duck game? Has he been to Autzen or anything like that?
Yep. We've gone to Autzen a couple times. The first Duck game he went to was when I actually called the Oregon Washington game. And, we've got a couple pictures of him drawn on the telestrator up in the booth. but then, we took both boys, God, it was right before COVID, both Jack and Emmett got to come down and, you know, got a few pictures in the tunnel and we got to be down on the field for a moment. And, it was nice to be able to share that with them, but I still think they were kind of, they weren't at the age where, you know, Emmett's 10 and Jack is 13 now and where it registers more, yeah. Right? You know, this was pre-COVID and, you know, probably the year before COVID. So what, 4 years ago, you know, they were still young enough where it probably didn't quite register. And honestly, you know, it's 20 years removed. It's not the same as it was.
Yeah.
You know, if Marcus comes back or Justin Herbert comes back to Autzen, you know, a couple of years after he graduates, people move on. Time passes, and you know, you don't say that. I don't say it, in, you know, to be anything other, speak of anything other than the truth. But people move on, right? You're not the, you know, there's a place for you as a former Oregon quarterback, but the longer you move away, or the longer that timeline becomes, the you know, the less important you become, but the less of a, I don't know, say, what's the word I'm looking for? The less fanfare is made.
Sure.
And I kind of like that.
Yeah. You can go down there now and I'm not saying you blend in, but it's a little bit easier to kind of just move around and be a guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. And had I had my kids, you know, a year or two after I graduated and gone back, the experience would have been totally different.
Yeah. All right. We will pivot away from children. When we come back, we'll actually talk about maybe some NFL stuff. How about that?
Why? It's preseason.
Yeah, but, you know, we got some interesting preseason games going on. Marcus looked pretty good today, ran for a touchdown. I'll ask you about what he's going through, too. You know, because it's a pivotal time in his career right now. And, you know,
it's a pivotal time in our career, you and me, right? You better bring it in the second half of the show, or I'm just going strictly Rop the rest of the time.
Going all like, Rop all day.
I'm going all Rop. I will ignore every question from you for the rest of eternity if this second segment isn't fire.
Well, I got to prepare then. All right. I'm going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to be much, much better. More of Joey Harrington when we come back here on 1080 The Fan. Our conversation continues with Joey Harrington, who joins us each and every Friday. And it is a Football Friday light, some preseason football going on, which normally I could care less about. But we got it on here, and see, Marcus was getting the starting nod for the Falcons tonight. And he played pretty well. He went 2-of-2, had a couple rushes, ran for a touchdown. So a nice little showing there in his brief action. But I wanted to ask you kind of two quarterback conversations. The first one is Marcus and the mentality here. Didn't work out, obviously, after being a top pick. Goes to Atlanta now, is the guy, but we know he's a bridge quarterback. Atlanta's in the middle of a rebuild. Not sure how much is really around him, but this is really kind of his opportunity to prove that he can be a starter. What's that mentality like when you go in knowing that the franchise is doing everything they can or seemingly everything they can to support you and it's your job versus now where you're trying to prove that you belong, whether it's as a starter or as a backup?
I don't know that it's that different because you're still trying to win football games, right?
Yeah.
I think the different, and let me say that no matter who you are or how you play, there's a formula for winning football games, right?
Yeah.
It's be efficient, don't turn the ball over, and take advantage of the opportunities, right? Complete 75% of your passes for 2 touchdowns and don't throw any picks. You'll win every game.
Sure.
excuse me. I think the problem, or what happens to a lot of guys when, you know, you're trying to compare the start of your career where you have a lot more runway, you have a lot more leeway, a lot more flexibility or forgiveness with the coaching staff in the front office to take chances, to try things out, to learn, to say, oh, okay, I tried that and it worked. I tried that and it didn't work. I'll do it better next time. And they're in the process of putting pieces around you, right? So there is an understanding that they're going to give you some grace. When you get into the situation that Marcus is in now, he has to be careful, or any quarterback has to be careful, that they don't deviate from that winning formula. Even though, and especially because he doesn't have those pieces around him.
Yeah.
Right. So the thought is, well, I got to go win football games, right? I got to go put up numbers. I have to, you know, I have to win this job and I got to go do it, you know, on my own. Well, if you take that mentality and get too aggressive, what you're going to do is you're going to make mistakes. You're going to turn the ball over. You're going to lose games. You're going to be out of job. You have to work, but on the flip side, you're not going to be given, even if you don't have the guys around you. You know, Marcus has Kyle Pitts. He's going to be a heck of a player, but is not surrounded by Pro Bowl talent.
No.
But he's not going to be given the leeway. He's not going to be given – there's not going to be that excuse made for him, right? So even though, you know, if he doesn't go out and throw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, there isn't going to be people saying, well, you know, he didn't have people around him. They're going to move on. They're going to draft somebody else. So he's got significantly less wiggle room, and he has to find that sweet spot where he can take advantage of the guys that he has around him, but not deviate out of that winning formula. It's just, you're trying to thread a tighter needle. I won't say there are very few guys that have done it, but all the while, there's a reason why those of us who are drafted high and don't work out in our first spot, the majority of the time, it's because we do it to ourselves, yeah. Right? And we've talked about it, because mentally, confidence-wise, you do it to yourself. And so Marcus is going to have to do all of those things that I just talked about while still, you know, working himself out of the self-doubt and the, you know, the things that crept in when he was playing in Tennessee. I mean, that's a tough order.
Yeah, and you're right. It doesn't happen very often. I mean, it can happen, you know, the Alex Smiths of the world, but it's mm-hmm. it's a rare thing. And the other one I wanted to ask you, we were having this conversation earlier, and you got to be around Mike Vick a little bit. And mm-hmm. I want to ask you, and I know we're up against it, but I'm just intrigued by your take, because we were talking about, you know, the running quarterback, and in the NFL, that is always kind of I always call it the missing link. Everyone's searching for that, right? Because when you get a quarterback that can run, it's such a weapon in your offense. And yet the game is consistently won from the pocket. So the idea is always, if we can just find a guy that's athletic, that can run, but we can also teach him to play from the pocket, then you've got your unicorn. But more often than not, that is not the case. And we were kind of having this debate. When you're an athlete like Michael Vick or Lamar Jackson, a truly special athlete, you know, Cam Newton, you're just different. Does it hurt your development as a quarterback, as you grow and mature as a young man, as you grow up, knowing that at a moment's notice, especially at younger levels, when you're just that much better than everyone else, does it hurt your development as a quarterback knowing that in your back pocket, when something goes wrong, you can just take off, and especially at those younger levels, no one can stop you versus having to kind of be forced to learn how to adjust and manipulate a pocket?
Yeah, I would say yes. I would say it does, but it doesn't diminish your value as a quarterback.
Yeah.
right? Because what Lamar Jackson has done in his, you know, MVP season, you know, in his already MVP career is he's adapted, right? He's been able to make the throws that complement his game rather than trying to fit, because there's not one style, right? Just because you're a mobile, just because you can run, or I should say, if you can run, yeah, there's no sense in forcing you to play like Drew Bledsoe, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the realization that a lot of guys are. There's different ways to play from the pocket. There's different ways to throw the football effectively. And it doesn't have to be a straight seven-step drop, you know, and I'm going to throw an 18-yard comeback because I got a hell of an arm. Right, there's ways to throw the football without making your guy a statue, and that's what teams are starting to adapt to and understand. And the ones that can play that, let's call it a spread style, get run and play the spread style, can have some success. The ones that can continue to adapt from that and learn how to do more of the things in the pocket become Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. And like you said, you win MVPs, and
exactly,
yeah. And then it's always that belief that if you can be Lamar Jackson but become a top maybe 12 thrower of the football, then I think that's always the, we say, like, if you could take young Michael Vick and combine him with old Michael Vick in Philadelphia, you might have had the perfect quarterback.
And here's what I'll say: I will agree 100%. Being around, we'll call it transitional Michael Vick, I would agree 100% with that comment. But here's what I'll say about Marcus. Is Marcus still has some legs in him.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Marcus can be – he's not going to be the weapon, but his ability to run can be that piece that allows him to kind of transcend out of that space, right, to be that extra weapon that he may be missing outside, right? He can't rely on that completely. But what he can do is he can use it every once in a while to create plays that would have been made by guys that he's missing around him, right? And that's what he has that a lot of us didn't.
See, now, more importantly, I got to ask the question, did I do enough in this second football segment to bring you back next week?
Oh, I'm coming back because Rob's coming back.
Well, that's true. Although knowing Rob, I can't guarantee that.
Maybe here. He may be playing golf. He may be, you know.
Yeah. I know as we get deeper into the season, I can guarantee it, but we're still in August. I can't guarantee where he's going to be. So I'd like to tell you that it's going to be you and Rob and me next week. Look, I think you got a 50-50 chance it's just me and you again. So just buckle up.
Well, if you want me to show back up for story time, then you better tell me that he's coming, because I don't know that I can rely on the 50% performance that you one for two in the segments today.
Hey, one for two, man. Depends on what league we're talking about. Football, I'm in trouble. Baseball, I'm in the Hall of Fame. I'm
Ted
Williams.
Hall of Fame, exactly. Yeah, see? And frankly, since we did talk about the captain and Derek Jeter, well, I guess we're in a baseball phase.
I'm taking it back.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame. Better than Ted Williams, man.
Baseball.
He only hit 40%. You hit 50%.
That's right. I'm now calling, it's no longer Football Friday. It's Baseball Friday with Joey. That's what we're doing. All right. We'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
All right, buddy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.